Green podcast channel. Let's get right to the action and see what Kevin and Barry are thinking about today.
It was a therapist.
But I didn't.
It was a therapist.
I'm sorry.
It was a bass therapist.
I was so excited.
The antenna was actually like 30 feet tall. And you had to run at it
moving
from
like
20 feet away and then run away. And those guys were exhausted. At the end of the gig. Well, so was the bass player. I mean, those guys, yeah, man. And especially with a big band, I mean, that many horns and whatever, you don't really need microphones.
No.
It's great to have them, if depending, but you don't have to have them because that stuff's going to project, you know. But maybe for the soloist, you might have a mic or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when they're all playing tutti, you know, it's like, dang, you know.
Yeah.
But the bass player and the drummer, you know, those are the cats that never stop, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's usually just always going unless there's a moment of like a beautiful fanfare.
Do you feel like you was watching Lawrence Welk? Because I've learned a lot from watching Lawrence Welk as an adult. But I know I got a lot of that from you working with you and Danny. And it seems like watching those shows and seeing all the guitar players and all the instruments, there was a lot of big bands swinging over to pop music or whatever. But there is a lot to learn from how it all worked. So I don't know if you picked up when... I assume Lawrence Welk was playing at your house.
Never.
Never was.
Never. I know, because it was square to them.
But Danny always knows Ray Finney or whatever. The tenor.
But, I mean... they didn't ever...
I totally went down the exact same way.
That's a therapy.
How about that Jim Morrison?
They, I mean, you know, for sure, Dad thought it was square.
He totally thought it was square.
He would have said it was, yeah, very pedestrian, but that's not the word he would have used. But that stuff, you know, it's very... like very two-beat oriented. A one and a two and a rip, da, da. That's not the era they came from. Was more like the... you know, Fly Me to the Moon or something of that nature. I mean...
Louis Prima.
Yeah. Anyway, just straight up big band stuff like that, right?
God, I totally got that wrong.
No, here's the cool thing.
I really thought that you guys watched that.
I mean, it was on in the household, and it was music that could be watched that did have horns and everything, but I just remember, it's not that we didn't watch it, but they didn't love it.
Yeah.
And I think Mom probably didn't care, but Dad was always the more jazzer-oriented, I think, of the two. So he'd be like, that's fine, but yeah, whatever.
The Ooh Brothers.
I remember, like, my grandparents watched Lawrence Welk, and I really found it depressing for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, it was a big part. Because now, if I see it, it reminds me of them, and I don't feel that way about it. But in the day, it was like... They would take blues notes, you know.
And straighten them out.
And straighten them out in these intervals.
Yeah.
And it just felt weird to me. And everybody was stiff. And I remember, I never liked dressing up for church. And that felt like it, musically dressing up for church.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt, I love church, but I just felt.
They cut to the dancers, you know. They're all...
Well, it's kind of what Pat Boone did for rock and roll. You know.
Exactly.
He straightened everything out and, you know, kind of killed that vibe, really, for it. But Lawrence Welk, I hated it when it was on. I mean, I would laugh. I mean, frankly, there might have been some weed involved, and I would sit there and laugh at it because it was just funny. And the arrangements were so hokey. They couldn't have been more just cheesy and
what's
hokey.
What's funny, so when I'm picturing this in my head, I'm picturing a Lawrence Welk, and the screen is cut in half. Pan left, Tim Grogan, like a bag of Cheetos, laughing hysterically with a tear coming from laughing so hard. On the right, Barry Coggins, sporting a dickie, maybe eating fried pickles. I don't know, remember what you're... And tears of sentiment coming down your face.
So
Same show.
No.
I actually laughed, too. Why are you laughing? Why do you keep watching this if you're laughing at it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I know differently, but now it's been bad. That's funny. It's been back on for I don't know, they've been doing reruns for, I don't know, 10 years or something. Yeah. And I just kind of recently discovered it about 7 years ago that it was back on again.
Saturday night.
And oh my gosh, just the distance in time and to go back and look at it and to remember how much I laughed at it then. And it's still kind of, it's just as funny, but in a completely different way now. Yeah.
Did that make any sense? Here's something I don't remember that you would notice now, probably. Like, yeah. Did they have a... pretty much the band, like, this is the drummer that's always on the show and the guitar player that's...
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, for the most part,
yeah. It would have been a great gig.
Huh? Oh, and man, and all, and they have them so straight-laced looking and everything is just so, and it's here, so-and-so, and here they go, and everyone's smiling, just, and everyone's constantly smiling, and everyone's playing and smiling, and they're smiling, you know, and it's just like, wow, you're on camera, we get it.
The visual.
And, but then, what I always thought...
And the primary colors there. So bright.
Oh yeah, the suits and the outfits were just hysterical, and the, you know, the lack of racial, you know, diversity was interesting, and when they would use them, maybe, you know, the black man was the tap dancer, yeah. And it was like okay, and then which is always funny to me, and then oh my god, it's just, I don't know, that
now
show
we'll
just
do
just,
Mr. Bojangles, right?
I mean, kind of, right. Yeah, here he comes, he's going to be like the Music Man, blah 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 blah, blah. You know, this is funny, dude. And that, yeah, but that show, I don't know, it's so amazing. And yeah,
do you
there,
think
there are some cool arrangements going on, and there are some players, but here's what I was wanted to say real quick before you ask your question was, I always thought with all that straight-lacedness and how hard they worked on that show, that when they got off that show, I bet there was debauchery and drugs and just like, I bet they were just intermingling, changing partners, you know, it just seemed like that because they were on the set the whole time and they're made to be very, you know, no, you can't do that. And then I bet when they just had their off times, whenever those might have been.
Would that have been a great Saturday Night Live skit? Like, oh, Lawrence Welk show, The After Hours.
Yes. Oh, that's perfect.
Lawrence ripping off his suit that comes off in one piece, like,
behind
the Naked Gun guys. And
yeah, Leslie Nielsen.
So, it's like Conan. Do you think, like, what, now, Hee Haw, you get this, now, you know Hee Haw was partying after
yeah,
the show,
for sure.
That's been written in books.
Yeah, and maybe but, during.
You know, but, what did you say? So Hee Haw was on too, like at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same time period.
Yeah.
Were you guys?
I think so. '70s.
Yeah, they crossed over for sure.
I remember that. I just remember. I remember like thinking that's the first time I heard anybody play the banjo like Roy Clark.
I know,
and that caught my attention. I'm like, holy cats, yes. Man! This is yes. What is that?
Yes.
And Lawrence Welk had that too. Some really good performers with their instruments.
Had some great soloists.
I love
yeah.
The clarinet guy that he wore dark glasses. I thought he was as good as.
Oh yeah, I know you're talking
Pete
about
Pete Fountain and Acrobat. Yeah. I thought he was really good.
They were great. I mean, those players were great.
Nothing but, says manly like a man with a clarinet.
It's funny. One time
because Barry played clarinet.
I gave Barry an ornament. It was a little clarinet, because you played the clarinet.
Yeah,
and you played it on.
If you can walk.
If you can walk, you can dance. Yeah. So Barry is a clarinetist.
Never How long
a,
did you have
never
to...
Never played a theremin, though.
How long did you have to soak your reed for?
If you had a dime for every question. Time.
Yeah. All right. Golly, yeah, that was a long... Yeah, okay.
Oh,
hey, now.
Hee-haw.
Hee-haw was Hee-haw a cool show, though. But I never... Again, that was not really in the household too much. I mean, it was on, and we watched it, and it was fun. It was musical, and so that, you know, lined up with everything. But it was just kind of funny. The hillbilly thing was not necessarily our take, I guess, which is fine. I related to it anyway. It was very funny. And the, you met another imp. He was, you know, and all that. And then the great picking that was on there, you know, it was amazing. And Buck Owens was on there all the time,
right.
And I mean, there was a lot.
So would come up, and come down, come up, come down.
Yeah. It was kind of like the laugh in the hillbilly laugh in
totally
or something.
Was. My dad loved that show. I thought it was Hee Haw was lame, but I love it now. I totally love it now.
Yeah,
I just remember that, one time at our county fair, we didn't get the best of entertainment growing up, you know. And so when I was like in eighth grade, Grandpa Joan was the entertainment.
Oh,
at the
fair.
At the fair, And
sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Could you please repeat it?
Grandpa Jones.
Grandpa Jones
was the entertainment at the fair.
And I remember though, Junior Hampton's mom was like involved in like, she was on the little fair committee, and she's like, you know, so at this time, you know, Grandpa Jones is going to be going from this building up. He's going to be performing, right? And we all drove our dirt bikes up. Our little bicycles, you know?
Right, right.
To look at Grandpa Jones. And we're all like, and we all
That's
waited.
Awesome,
we're like,
though.
Oh, That's my a... God, there's goes Grandpa
yeah,
Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, it was cool.
That's
it was
great cool.
Yeah.
I mean, amazingly cool.
Grandpa Jones.
That was her Gerby was
mean, a visit. You know, that's the stuff, though. It makes it... that sort of changed your world a little bit, right? I mean, at that moment, you're like, hell yeah,
that's
we're
Grandpa
going.
Jones.
It did.
We're going to go check that out.
Now that you say that, that's probably the first time that somebody I'd ever seen on a TV screen I saw with my actual eyes.
In real life, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never really thought of that until now, but I think that might be the moment.
That's sort of the celebrity
because
thing.
Because it sticks
for the first
out.
Time.
It's a
yeah.
very vivid memory.
Interesting.
For me.
Interesting. Wow. That's cool.
What's yours?
My vivid memory like that? Like a celebrity encounter or
you saw somebody on TV and then you see him in real life.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Gosh, I
know. I think it was... I don't know who that would have been. Those kinds of things don't necessarily register in my brain. Let's see. It would have been...
Maybe as an adult.
Well...
Could be. Totally.
For me, it was Chet Atkins in Nashville as an adult.
Really?
I saw him and I went... Jaw dropped. That's freaking Chet Atkins over there.
Really?
No.
Was your dad with you?
No, that second time I saw him, it was with my dad.
Wow,
then I saw Naomi Judd one time at that Meet and Three back in the 90s. Since closed down. I had the name of it just...
It was right there. The pie, the wagon wheel pie. And
yeah, the pie
and
wagon. It was like the pie wagon, but...
Wagon wheel and pie and John
it was on
Ray.
West End, and it was a kind of a famous meet and three.
Wow.
Had one name, like Applebee's, but it wasn't Applebee's. Anyway, I
what
saw
about Ray Charles?
Yeah, Ray Charles. Well, that preceded all that.
So he was first one.
Yeah. But I knew, you know, it wasn't like a surprise, but yeah.
Well, was he maybe the first celebrity you saw in real life?
Yes. Yeah, I'd say so.
And that's a big one.
When I moved from Dallas to LA, I was playing just like casual gigs. So, you know, putting on the tuxedo and doing, you know, da 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 da, whatever, you know, nice little jazzy sort of, you know, tunes and playing drums. And I was on this one gig with, you know, extremely rich people out in Hollywood and whatever, because I got on with this great guy that hired on big gigs. And I was sitting there setting up, and we just started playing, and people were just milling in, and Phyllis Diller comes and sits down.
Oh, cool!
Oh,
my God.
Now, back in this was 91, 90, maybe 90. And I had the long hair. I had the, you know, beyond the shoulders long hair. Not the mullet. It was just all long. And I had a mustache. And she sat in front, and she had a friend sitting with her, and people were starting to mill in. So we're starting to, you know, play, I don't know, you know, Girl from Ipanema or whatever, right? Some sort of thing. And she's sitting there, and we stopped the song, about to start the next one. She goes, come here.
You know,
she motions, yeah, to me, come here. And so I'm like, the band leader says, yeah, it's cool, it's cool. It's Phyllis Diller. Go ahead. And so I got out from around the drums and walked up front, and she said, you look like Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
And just smiled at me and kind of with that sort of Phyllis Diller, you know, look.
Oh,
that
man.
Mischievous look. And I'm, okay, great. And we went back to playing. And she sat there for like half the night right in front of me, like at the table right there.
Did you bring in this?
So
Jesus
that's my
Christ.
Superstar.
That could be the title of your autobiography. You know?
That is.
I mean, that's huge. I love
it was
that.
So
really, really cool.
It was so funny. I was kind of sitting there thinking, okay, yeah, wow. Could we just get back to playing Girl from Ipanema or
did
something?
Did she have the cigarette holder and, like, you know, talking about Fang? Her
she
husband?
Did not, but man, it was, yeah, it was her. You know, it was Phyllis Diller. And she must have been, if that was 90, I don't, you know, 1990, I don't know how old she
would have
been.
The things
but.
You learn when you do a podcast.
That's incredible.
So, I've known Tim for 40 years.
So when you first told me you were going to do the roast of Tim, and I started, like, I actually did some YouTube searches on roasts, and they're unbelievably funny. Especially mm-hmm. you get in a certain area for mm-hmm. for me, like you mm-hmm. said, the Dean Martin stuff. That totally. Stuff is so funny. Yeah. But you know how one video leads to another. And I found this is recently on a Phyllis Diller led to an old video of Phyllis Diller doing stand up, and ooh. Phyllis Diller was unbelievable, and she was cutting edge.
Yeah.
And at a time where it was not polite for women to be up there doing what she was doing and talking about what she was talking about.
She was raw.
And she was funny, and she is funny. Yeah. It still holds up.
Yeah.
It's like this Lawrence Welk stuff, man. No, I'm kidding. I'm gonna zap you, bear. But no, it
Phyllis
was...
Phyllis Diller put Lawrence in the crapper.
Now, that is... That's an unbelievable moment.
You look like Jesus Christ. You had to get up and walk over there, too.
Well, yeah, it was the thing, and you know, it's Phyllis Diller, yeah. So, of course, I would.
Wow.
But no one knows who Phyllis Diller is anymore anyway, but it was just, or Jesus Christ, for that matter. But I'm cheating. Hey, but seriously, I'll be here for, I don't know, another
what's strange 10 is, seconds. Like, when I read her.
And that's her autobiography.
But in her autobiography, she talks about when she became a Christian, and it was this moment where she heard a jazz, she was at a jazz club, this guy inspired her.
What?
That may have been you.
But that's yeah. so funny.
She's what if you were the guy?
What if I was the guy? Well,
I think she prayed before the show, Lord, if you're real, please show yourself to me. And there's this drummer.
Dark-haired drummer with a mustache.
Mustache.
Okay. I don't know, but yes, I'm sure it is.
Thank you for listening to the 360 Degree Podcast Channel. We hope to see you again soon.
This has been a 1234 production.